this Sunday morning, we turn to the Christmas story recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. No matter how many times we have read or heard this account, it stirs our soul and our spirit. Many, if not most of us, have memories, even back to our childhood, of reciting a part in the Christmas pageant, perhaps even on Christmas Eve. So as I read, I encourage you to treasure these words while you ponder the personal meaning and the memories for each of you. I read Luke 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the inspired word of God. The Christmas story. God's gift of salvation in his only Son, Jesus Christ. So as we reflect upon the true reason for the season, let us now prepare to hear the message. What did you want for Christmas?
Dave prayed this morning, he was talking about memories of our mom's wetting her fingers, taking care of our hair. I remember my mom. She's Vaseline. But to this day, I get that memory because every time I come into church on Sunday, Sonny goes, "Your hair, licks her finger." I think one of the most recent Christmas memories I will have is caroling the other night. When we were done caroling, we were done. We had done our time at the hospital and Sister Jane's care center. And we were all leaving, and I went into Arliss's room, and she was laying down. And I just leaned over, and I gave her a hug, and I said, "Arliss, we love you." And in the clearest sentence I heard her say in a year or so, she said, "I love you all." Just like that. What a wonderful Christmas gift. What are your memories of Christmas when the Christmas tree is set up in your house and on Christmas Eve night or Christmas morning, somebody is passing out the gifts, and maybe it's Santa Claus, maybe it's the kids. Mom and Dad has coffee and the kids are yelling and screaming for gifts and excited and throwing trash around and sometimes at each other. What's your memories of Christmas? What is the fun times? It's interesting that Christmas is right after the solstice. You realize yesterday was the last solstice of the decade. It's the last one when the nights are the shortest. And yet, Christmas is right in the middle of the darkest time of the year. We talked about lights in the last couple weeks. We talked about the memories and the impossibility of Christmas. Now we'll talk a little bit about the time of Christmas and what you want for Christmas. The time of Christmas, it's a time of darkness outside, but not in our hearts, not on the tree, not in our houses, and even on our houses. But how about the time of Christmas in spiritual life and when Christmas came to the earth, when the first real gift was given, the true gift was given in the time of the darkest times. The darkest times in those days. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Augustus was born Gaius Octavius Thurinius. He was adopted by his uncle, who was then not Caesar. He was the Roman emperor, and actually there was no Caesar. In fact, Augustus was the first Caesar. He was, in fact, his name means the August One, the Exalted One. This man who decided he was going to rule the world. And it says there, all the people of the world had to go up. All the people of the known world, what they would call the civilized world or the conquered world, was very dark for them. Gaius was told by Mark Antony, his friend, "You, boy, owe everything to your name." And so he thought about that and he said, "You know what? I'm going to make my name greater. I'm going to call it Caesar Augustus, the August One. And they're going to worship me." This was the beginning of Caesar worship. How many people are going to worship me? Well, let's start taking some census. Send them up to their hometowns. Send them up to where they hail from, and let's take some numbers. We can get some taxes. I can chalk up all the numbers that I have underneath my reign. He was popular with his soldiers. He came in a little different than the prior rulers. He came in as a commander, and so he was popular with his soldiers, and he took that might and solidified his power, and he killed his enemies and solidified his stance as the August One in the so-called Golden Age. Isn't it interesting that to the king this is the Golden Age, and to the world at the time, and yet this is in a dark time for people who want peace, as we sang about this morning. They gave the Pax Romana, the Roman peace, the Roman treaty, an the economy surged and art surged and agriculture was doing better, but not the people in Judah, not the people in Israel. His borders expanded while everybody else has decreased. You're gonna go where I tell you and go up there and be registered. You know, what do you want for Christmas, Mary? I want a trip to Bethlehem on a donkey. You remember that 200 years prior to this was Hanukkah. Hanukkah started. The Festival of Lights, it's called. 200 years ago, when the Maccabees beat the Romans, kicked them out for a time, and then they came back as a storm, and now they're under darkness again. They don't have the Hanukkah lights. They're not getting Hanukkah presents. They're getting tickets on a donkey to Jerusalem, I mean to Bethlehem. What a time for Jesus to come. In a time of law and order by an iron fist, and slavery and taxes, and darkness, and it's cold. Mary gets this flyer in the mail. You've won a trip to Bethlehem. Oh, man. What a time. Now, it's really interesting here that it says Joseph was of the son of David. He was of the lineage of David. Wait a minute. I thought Augustus was the king here. And we'll find out that Herod is, you know, the king of the area there. You find out in other places. Well, who's in charge? It doesn't really look like the light has come or even is coming. Everything is dark for these people. And the itinerary for this, you would think that this king who's coming, they would have a great itinerary for him and a party set aside for him and a nice room. Nope. There's no room at the inn. There's no place for you. We're going to put you in a trough. And we're going to wrap you in swaddling clothes. You know, those are the strips of baby clothes. They wrap them up so they can be warm and comfortable and not move a whole lot and hurt themselves when they're young. And we're going to put them in a trough. The King of Kings. In a trough. In a very dark time. What did you want for Christmas, Joseph? I'll take a trip to my ancestors' house. They would rather have not, I'm sure. But God had an itinerary. He had a plan. And it wasn't something he just thought of, and this is just a momentary thought. Let's just do this. This had been coming for a very long time. What do you want for Christmas, Mary, or Joseph? Let's get a new donkey. A bed for the baby. A house so we can stay. Maybe a room for the night. No, you get it. You get the trough and the little cave probably and a very cold night. And then in the same region, you would think that these shepherds are not going to have anything to do with Augustus. They're not going to have anything to do with Mary and Joseph. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. They have nothing to do with this. They're the outcast of society. They smell. They sleep with their sheep. They're out there watching it because the wolves or the coyotes will eat them. And the baby lambs will die in the cold. It may not be December. It might be April. But anywhere between winter and very early spring, it's cold. And they're out there doing the work that they have, the only life that they have, and they're really not liked by anybody. They're not being watched. Nobody even thinks about them while they're out there. Even when you're sitting down eating your lamb chops, you're not thinking about the shepherd that raised them. They're just out there in the cold watching over their flocks. But God has not forgotten them. In fact, he's going to throw a concert. I mean, you would think that this concert would be happening over the baby, or it would be happening over Augustus, the king of the world, you know. Let's throw a good concert for him. He deserves it, right? He's dominated the region. He's gone through a lot of work and paid a lot of money. And even though he's bringing those taxes in, he's paying it out so he can solidify his power. Let's throw him a concert. No, let's throw it for these shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, the shepherds, in the fields. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. I want to stop there for a second. What does that look like? What is that? What is the glory of the Lord? Is that the Shekinah glory? Is that God himself? He left the temple in Ezekiel chapter 10. And he's showing up over a field of shepherds. He's come with his angels. It kind of reminds you of Ezekiel chapter 1. You know, when the glory of the Lord comes. And there's a greater description of there. I think it's a little different in that he's coming from the north and other things are happening. But still, here he is, the glory of the Lord with his angels all around, and the glory shone all around. And the angels said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that you will be for all people." That will be for all people. Wait a minute, all the people aren't around, just these poor shepherds who don't even really talk to anybody. "For unto you shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and singing and throwing the greatest concert ever. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And so the whole sky is filled with this concert of angels. This is the most dramatic scene that has ever taken place on the planet. A heavenly host singing to these smelly men. How many were there, you think? Well, we know that Solomon, one day, it is written in the Jewish Tanakh, that 256,000 lambs were slaughtered one Passover. 256. If you divide that by, let's say, 100. I'm a shepherd, I have 100 sheep. Or maybe I have, I think 1,000 is too much for one shepherd. You got 2,500 shepherds? That was in Solomon's time. That was in Solomon's time, at the height of peace and the height of prosperity, as David had conquered everybody and everything in his realm. And then the peaceful son comes in and he sets up prosperity in the kingdom. But what was happening? How many shepherds are here? Who knows? We don't really know. We have a clue, though. We have a clue, because if you go back to Isaiah chapter 7, because see this? Verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you." A sign? I thought a sign was for, given by the prophets, or for the prophets, or for the nation, or a sign from God. Well, when you read that word, you ought to go back and find out where that's used. Because it was used in this very context of a virgin with a child. In chapter 7, verse 10 of Isaiah, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz, the king of Israel then, said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David." There it is. O house of David. By the way, house of David is mentioned several times. His lineage is mentioned. The city of David, Bethlehem, is mentioned a couple times. Oh. You know, it's not about Augustus. It's not about the man who brought the darkness. But the man, the God who's bringing the light. Because see, what do we really want for Christmas? What do we need for Christmas? What is our need? I know everybody here in particular, we think as the years go on, you know, you get asked by your wife or your friend, what do you want for Christmas? And it's like every year that goes on, it's like, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. What do you want? Well, maybe I could use this. You know, ask the shepherds, what would they want? Well, maybe we could use an oil lamp. You know, I could use an oil lamp or a stove, a nice little gas stove. Or a little tent. Yeah, but what do you need? I need peace. I need light. I need some warmth. Okay, that's what you're going to get. Because it was promised some 2,000 years prior, or 1,500 about, and it would have been 700, but who's counting? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then it goes on to say some things about this baby. And then, however, watch what happens to Israel. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt, and for the bees, and they will come and settle in the steep ravines, and in the clefts of the rock, and thorn bushes. And in that day, the Lord will shave the razor, and he's going to do some horrible things here, God is. He's going to allow it to happen in that day. A man will keep alive a young goat, a cow, and a two sheep. He only gets two sheep. The shepherd only has two sheep because of the darkness of those times. Now, again, that was 700 years ago. We still don't know how many shepherds were there. We still don't know how many sheep they had. Maybe a few more, as they had fallen under Augustus, the exalted one, and who allowed them to live. It's still really dark and cold. Passover's coming. They're raising their lambs and their sheep for this time coming. And yet they're out in the field in the cold and the dark. And 700 years later, and a millennia later, and since the time of Genesis 1, God has not forgotten these poor shepherds. And he came to them. He rose over them. He brought his angels, a multitude of angels. The sky was full over them, and sang them a chorus, because he brought what they needed. They didn't even, it says later on that he's going to appear to people who didn't even seek him. You know, these people are seeking him. But those people who didn't seek him are us. And when you and I read this, in the spirit that God has given us, the heart that God has given us, we know that light has come to us. That's what Christmas morning is about. That's what Christmas Eve is about. That's what the Sunday before Christmas is about. That's why Gary said, you know, do we get tired of hearing this over and over? No. No. There's always a little bit more we can learn. A little bit more we can put in context. Hopefully we can meditate on it, and while we're passing out gifts on Sunday morning and drinking our hot cocoa, we're thinking about the fun and peace that we have in our heart while we watch the kids run around. This is a wonderful time. And he comes to these sheep, these shepherds. They're sheep. Because there's only one true shepherd. He comes to them during the time of Hanukkah and brings the real light. The real light. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned,
glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Now, my question is, when they went and saw the baby, did they leave the sheep? Well, what kind of question is that? My question to them, to the shepherds are, when you saw the baby and you went and told everybody about the baby, did you take your sheep? What were happening with the little lambs and your livelihood out in the fields? Well, I want them, and God has given them to me, but there is something happening right now that has never happened ever and will never happen again. And it happened to us. And look, they went and told everybody, and then the other people who heard it wondered about what was told them. They didn't get to see it, but it was told them. So see, now begins this progression of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, and it begins with the shepherd. And when the shepherds go up, it's almost shearing time, and I think March and April, and so they come to the shears, and the shears say, I heard something happened to you guys a few months ago. Tell me about it. Was it real? Is this a real happening? Did this really happen? Oh, absolutely. Or when they're selling them to the butchers, or the giving them to the people to take up on Passover, and they take this sheep up there and say, this sheep was in the field when these sheep saw those hosts. He was there. They didn't get to see it, but they have this story of Hanukkah, the real Hanukkah, the real festival of lights. They have the truth that has brought them warmth and light and peace to their souls. It was brought to them. It's interesting that the word wrapped is only used twice in the whole New Testament. It's here with Jesus. He's like a little gift. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he laid in this manger for, metaphorically, to be opened by the shepherds. My mind goes back to when Mary got the word that she was going to have this baby. She was given the gift some 6 months prior. She knew it and had rejoiced in her heart. You remember the song. She had already had the concert. She knew about it. Joseph knew about it. And then the shepherds knew about it. In the time of darkness, in the time of this king who brought pain and slavery to about half of the world. Did the shepherds ever stop telling what they saw that night? Have you stopped telling? Has it been a concert in your soul? The lights of Christmas and the songs of Christmas, what we sung here this morning? The very song, one of the very songs said, light through the darkness this morning. This baby. This had been something when the angel said, this will be a sign to you. I think some of them, and especially through the years as they begin to tell people, that what exactly did the angel say to you? When Luke was writing this, who was he talking to? And who told him, this is what was told to the angels, to the shepherds. This will be a sign to you. Okay, where did Joseph go? Well, he went to Bethlehem. Which lineage is he? He's of David. What's Mary's lineage? She's of the house of David. Okay, wait a minute here. We're putting two and two together. In fact, we're putting four and four together.
Because back in Ruth chapter 4, this was promised. And it started in Bethlehem. How do we know David's city means anything? Why, in the darkness of that whole time, when Mary is about to give birth, Augustus thinks he's pulling on the strings. And God says, Joseph, you got to go up to Bethlehem. Mary can't have that baby down south. Well, why is that? He's got to be born in the city of David. Okay, how do we know that? How did the shepherds know that? And everybody they told, the priests who were slaughtering these lambs, this coming Passover, how did they know? They may have rejected it, but they heard and they knew something happened. Because they were given a one-way ticket to Bethlehem. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate of Bethlehem and said to the elders and all the people, Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife. Then all the people who were at the gate of Bethlehem and the elders at Bethlehem said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built the house of Israel. May you act worthily in, there's that word, Ephrathah, and be renowned in Bethlehem. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David in the town of Bethlehem. Is that all you got? No, I think there's a little more. 1 Samuel 16. Fill your horn, God said to Samuel. Fill your horn with oil and go, I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided for myself a king among his sons, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. Oh, see, it's not just a, listen, this sign that had come over them was the announcement. And then they went and saw this little child who was wrapped in swaddling clothes in a feeding trough. Wait a minute. I can accept this. How come we can't accept it that it wasn't Augustus' son who was lying in a $4 million bed in a palace somewhere? How come somebody else didn't, you know, why isn't this a, you know, King Arthur or something strange like that? No, this is much more humble because God is after the humble. God is after the meek. He's after the poor. And so he has set this up for a long, long time. And it's proof by the sign, that little sign that was wrapped in a manger, that was born in Bethlehem because the ticket, the Hanukkah or Christmas gift Mary and Joseph got was a one-way ticket on a donkey. It's dark. It's gloomy. It's cold. It's a tough ride. But it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. This happened way before the angels came. And so, one more. Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old and from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. What do we want for Christmas? I tell you what, more than anything, I want peace with God. Now, I have peace with God, and every once in a while I fall out of fellowship with him, and I fall out of fellowship with my fellow man, and I've got to go ask for forgiveness and turn the light back on, you know, as it were. But I have peace with God, and we have peace with God. This is the gift that comes from Ancient of Days.
Why do we keep telling the story? Because they have. Because Isaiah said it, and Micah said it, and Moses said it. Clear back to Genesis chapter 3, and I think even 1 verse 1. I think he's been saying this for the whole time. Why would we give up saying, well, you know, this Christmas I think we're going to just take it off? Or 2020, let's just take it off. You know, the shepherds told a story, and it's out there, and here's the book if you want to read it, right? And the shepherds never stopped telling. You think about some of those conversations we're going to have in heaven. Find one of those shepherds. What did you see? Well, exactly there, but let me tell you a little more. I was muddy. I smelled bad. I was kind of embarrassed to go in front of them. But I went because I wanted to see the baby. And then you know the story, right? They're there probably 2 years in Bethlehem. And it's probably around 2 years old when the wise men show up. And that star shows again. Maybe that was the glory of God. We don't know. That star comes down, and now the wise men show up, and what they bring? Frankincense, gold, and myrrh. The stuff that they should have given to Augustus, right? I mean, that's the things that he wanted. Herod definitely wanted them, right? You know what they used them for, those gifts? To live the next 2 years in Egypt. They got a round trip ticket to Egypt, and they had to stay there for 2 years with nobody they knew, and they had to fly to Egypt. Here's a new donkey. I'll get you a new donkey, Mary. That's the best I can do. And we're on our way to Egypt to come back. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to go to Bethlehem. I don't want you to go to Galilee. I want you to go to Nazareth. Because he has to be called a Nazarene. You see, it's a story that, first of all, we can never write. It's a story that's back like last week, the impossible Christmas. It's a story we can't tell. There's too many quarters to pick. I mean, silver dollars. Remember the 8 trillion silver dollars. We've got to find the one. You can't do it. And so my question to you, if this is an impossible Christmas and all the lights are over the heavens and it's been shown into your heart, I pray it has. If it has, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want? There's a Christmas tree up here. We've got a bunch of gifts. There's all kinds of gifts that's filled, okay? Walk up there and say, you know what? I could use a little more wisdom. I could use a little more patience. I could use a little more comfort. Because remember, it is God who comforts you. And that is what we need. In fact, that is this story. That is this story. Because the last word is peace. He wants to bring you peace. He wants to bring it into your hearts, which brings it into your household, which you take it to your wife, and you take it to your husband, and you take it to your kids. And yes, it's hard, and yes, we struggle, and yes, sometimes we want to pull out the, you know, bats and swords or whatever. But we struggle because we're in our flesh. We struggle because it's still cold outside, you know. But the light has shone in our hearts. And so through 2020, is it going to get lighter? Are we going to have a concert like this again? Are we going to be able to see that literally? Are we going to have this happen again? This is a one-time scene. The next scene is Jesus Christ coming in his glory to set up his kingdom. And it's not going to be pretty on the earth then. It will be. But there was a song again this morning that said we could take this light, this song, this peace to others. We can share this peace on earth with others because it's in our hearts just as much as it was in theirs, in their eyes. It says what they seen and what they heard, they told to others. And that's you. You know you're the shepherds, right? You know you're the light of the world. We talked about that. You're the peace. By Christ's grace,
you bring peace. You bring his peace to others through what you've seen in her. And so, this Christmas, the night before, you specifically ask the Holy Spirit what you want. Don't. You can make a New Year's resolution if you want. You can, you know, I'm going to try this, or I'm going to try that, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But you ask the Holy Spirit what you need. Lord, I need more grace. Lord, I need more peace. Lord, I need a word for my family, a comfort for my family, a joy. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, Jesus said. Because, you know, you got April coming. I think that's Passover. That's not what we're talking about here. I found this because it just reminded me that Christmas is every day. There's Christmas in December, but I'm not sure it was December when the shepherds came. I mean, when they came to the shepherds. I'm not sure when Jesus Christ is coming back and when he's going to give us real peace and literal peace on earth. When is that going to happen? We don't know. But you have it in your hearts. And they need it in their hearts. Make it Christmas every day in your soul. And every week and every month to others. Take it with you. Share Christmas. Because the sun's shining. But it's not very bright out there. We're under the rule of a tyrant, the prince of the power of the air, and yet you've been freed. And those shepherds, they still had to go back to the darkness and the sheep and all those other things, but they carried what they saw and they heard, and I would say, till the day they died, or the Lord wouldn't have went to them in the first place. That's who it is with us. We take it to our beds. Lord God, we worship you today. We're very, very grateful for a Merry Christmas in our hearts. You have shown your light in our hearts. We just are so grateful that you portray here what you did. You didn't just come and share that with the shepherds, but you shared it with us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it lights up our lives. It lights up my heart, my imagination. What did they say? What did they look like? How cold was it and how warm did they get in their hearts when they heard the baby and when they saw the baby and when they saw the Shekinah glory in the skies? What a wonderful, wonderful story, Lord. And what a wonderful promise of what is still to come. We're very grateful that for thousands of years you've promised this story. You've promised the Christmas story, Lord. And you have delivered. Grateful for it, and we take it with us.